This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUV. Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. In the studio with me is Ken Williamson. He was a U.S. Army photographer in 1969 and 70 in Vietnam and has released a new book that uses those photographs from his time in Vietnam and new photographs from other visits he's made since then in a nice memoir that's put together. Ken, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me.
We'll begin with saying goodbye to Vietnam. It all began with saying hello to Vietnam. You left on Easter Sunday, 1969, to fly to Vietnam. Explain what you were doing on the way there and what you did when you got there.
Well, on the way there, everyone was pretty apprehensive about the trip, first of all. And my first stop was Fort Dix, which is sort of a clearinghouse for people going to a number of places overseas. And there were hundreds of us stationed there for about a day or two or three. And we got jungle uniforms, and we got briefed a little bit on what was going to happen, not very much. And then we jumped on a commercial jet that was chartered and flew the 17 and a half hours and with many stops in between and landed in Vietnam. And when we got off the plane, the heat really hit our faces, and the smell of the jungle, and the excitement of running toward a bunker and hoping no one was shooting at us. We landed in the dark. We landed about 4:30 in the morning. Lights out, including landing lights. No flashlights, no cigarette lighters. And all we could see was the explosions between us, or beneath us, going off sporadically. So we knew there was a battle going on somewhere.
Quite an introduction, and in the dark to boots.
Yes, exactly.
But I would imagine on that first day when the sun finally came up over the horizon that there was something new, totally new to behold.
Something new, totally new, totally new environment. My first impression is I'm riding in a bus on the way to Long Bin Post, which was where the 90th Replacement Company was located. It was just the poverty of people. You know, they really, in the war zone, I'm sure third world country to begin with, there was a lot of poverty, but the war created a lot more. And people living in very close conditions, children looking very hungry and dirty. And it made a lasting impression on me.
So you get to your first duty, and you're a photographer. Explain the job you had in the Army, because that's what they call it in the Army.
Sure.
You have a job. What was your job?
Everyone has a job, and for every combat troop out there, there are about 10 or 12 of us who do support. They're cooks and they're truck drivers, and I was a photographer. My degree is in photography from Ohio University. I was in photography in my stateside assignment, and so it wasn't unusual that I would land in photography in Vietnam, although I knew not where I was headed. Some people headed to a combat unit to follow combat units and do that type of photography. I ended up with an engineering outfit in Pleiku. And Pleiku is in the middle of Vietnam, Central Highlands area, mountainous area. Can get cool at night, very hot in the day. And I ended up there with an engineering outfit doing reconnaissance photography and anything else they needed. So if they needed a photo ID shot, I shot a new guy coming in. If they needed a ceremony shot, if someone was getting a Purple Heart or a Bronze Star or a re-enlisting, which is something I didn't consider, but a lot of people did, I'd have to do a photo of that. And I did a lot of photography stories eventually that I sent down to headquarters. And so after about 4 months or so in Pleiku, I ended up at headquarters in Long Bin and traveled as a photojournalist throughout the whole entire country and photographed what the engineers did. And that allowed me to capture the scenes that I captured for the book of a beautiful country, country at war, the people of the country. And those were my personal photos. And I also ended up bringing some photos home that I shot for the military for the actual newspapers and magazines that we did.
I'm speaking with Ken Williamson. His book is Saying Goodbye to Vietnam, a photographic memoir. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I told you before we went on the air that my wife's a photographer, and you know, I got a dark room in my basement, but it was a much nicer dark room than you had there in Vietnam. But it's great to see your description of what you had to work with there, and especially knowing how sensitive photographic chemicals sometimes can be. All this is brought to life. I called it a photographic memoir, but there's a lot of words here too, Ken. You did a great job in recounting your time and using the letters that you wrote home to your wife during the time to recreate this.
Yes, and when I started the book, I started it as a photography book. In my mind, it was always, even since 1969, going to be a photography book. And that was it. I had no plans on going back to Vietnam ever. But I did go back for a number of reasons. In 98, I was working on a documentary film about the women who served in Vietnam, and I needed permission of the government to do that. So I went. That's what started me back on that track. But maybe more on that later. But the darkroom angle, I wanted to touch on that a little bit, because in Pleiku, the darkroom was very, very crude. And I just learned recently the building that it was in. It was a bunker. It was a concrete bunker, walls about a foot and a half thick. I just learned recently that that was an old ice house that the French had built.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that when I was there. But we crafted a water tank on the roof out of a 500-pound steel bomb crate. And that provided water that they brought by in a tanker from the lake. So obviously the water has a lot of dirt in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what saved us from the dirt pretty much, and saved my negatives from the dirt, was the fact that the pipe from that tank was about an inch or two up above the bottom. So all the dirt would settle on the bottom of it and run by gravity through a hole in the wall and into a makeshift sink, and it would run out a drain that went out the bottom of the wall. So first of all, I had lake water. I had to figure out how I was going to process this stuff in 100-degree temperature, because when you process negatives, it really needs to be at 68 to mm-hmm. get the maximum quality. So I got some ice. I made a deal with the cook, and I got some ice from the mess hall twice a week. So I'd only process negatives on 2 days a week. And the prints were different, because I couldn't get enough ice really to cool that water. So I'd print everything at night. So I'd stay up all night and print. And my wife sent me supplies, because the Army wasn't giving any supplies. I had no film. I had no chemicals.
I was going to mention that, too. And not only the water, but you had no supplies to work with either.
Right, exactly. So she bought those for me. And there's a chemical called hypoclearing agent, which allows you to shorten the wash time from an hour, because the tank would definitely not hold an hour worth of water. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it would be very warm anyway. So the hypoclearing agent she sent me, I mixed up, and we used that to clear the chemicals out. So the negatives today are in pristine condition. And of course, I scanned all those with a digital scanner,
mm-hmm.
and the quality of the book, as you can see, is outstanding. It surprised me even from the age of the negatives. But so it started out as a photography book, and then I discovered that my wife had saved all these letters. And not only letters that we wrote back and forth, but there were letters in this big cardboard box that she found, and that were from college professors, my high school English teacher, some of my best friends, relatives, my parents, my grandparents.
Wow.
But in my letters home, I had written them almost like a minute-by-minute explanation of what was happening. So that's the only reason I could remember all this. I don't have a wonderful, great memory, unfortunately. So I had all this information in front of me in literally what was about 1,000 letters. And it took me months to go through those and sort of pick out a thread. And I decided that the book should be made up of 40-some short stories, a couple of pages long. So really there are 65,000 words in the book, not counting the captions, and about 450 photographs, not only from 69, but from two return trips in 98 and 05.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about as I'm speaking with Ken Williamson about his book, Saying Goodbye to Vietnam. Right there in the title, Saying Goodbye to Vietnam, and there's more than one chapter in the book called Saying Goodbye to Vietnam.
Yes, there too.
So this, as I looked at it, because throughout the book, you also have back in the real world, what do you call it? Back in the world sections.
Back in the world sections.
Yeah, that you say what's been going on. You mentioned Ohio University before. You talk about how their prom had Led Zeppelin come into play, you know, at the same time
yes.
you were over in Vietnam. But I was curious as to, well, you said you went back for documentary purposes in 98, but then you also returned in 2005. You know, as you follow the narrative in your book, Ken, you see where you wanted to say goodbye to Vietnam, and it drew you back, and you said goodbye a second time, but then came back a third time. Explain why you keep coming back to this country.
Well, I think that anyone who served there is going to keep coming back in their mind, if not in person. I know a lot of veterans who would never go back, never consider going back. And that's fine. That's about them. You know, it's about their experience. For me, it was a beautiful country. And I got closure the first time for me. And I didn't, that was not my purpose for going back. It was an unforeseen purpose that cropped mm-hmm. up in the process. And when I got there the first day in 98, my guide, and I had a private tour. I hired a guide and a driver, and I arranged my own tour of the places I wanted to go. And they dropped me back at the hotel in the afternoon, and I'd already taken some photographs all day. I'd been up all night on the plane, and, you know, it was one of those all-day trips. So I went to go outside. They said, you know, have dinner on your own. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, pick you up, go here, there, whatever. And it's perfectly safe. You know, there's a Hard Rock Cafe down around the corner. I'm thinking to myself, this is Vietnam. There's no Hard Rock Cafe. They only had one ATM in the country at that time.
Oh, okay. Hard Rock Cafe, but only one ATM.
So if you didn't have cash, you're out of luck. So I stepped outside, and I got 2 or 3 feet, and I couldn't do it. There was an old lady who came up with a child. She had her hand out. She was begging. And then all these kids came around and they were tugging on my clothes. They're all asking for something. And it just took me right back to 1969. So I went back into the hotel, went back to my room. I sat there for a few minutes. I said, this is nuts. I've traveled halfway around the world to have this experience. And now I can't do it. No. So I went out again. It took me about 3 times to go out there. I finally made it around 2 blocks. And I came back to the hotel. I had dinner at the hotel at night and went to bed. Well, before I went to bed, I'll say this. I thought about writing poetry. And I got that idea from a group of Marines I met at the Vietnam War Memorial in D.C. The year before. And I just met them by accident. I'm up there, and there's a little tent, and there's some music coming out of this tent. So I walked in, and here's these guys, and they're all sitting around, and they're singing songs, and they're reciting poetry that they had written about their experience in Vietnam as recovery for their PTSD. So I decided that I was so impressed with what they had done and accomplished that I decided maybe writing poetry about my experience each day was a thing to do. So that second section of the book closes every chapter with a poem that I wrote at the end of each day. And so that was my experience.
I was going to say there's 65,000 words in here, but not all of them are prose. I was going to mention the poetry. And then the return trip in 2005. Some fellows out in Claremont County, I guess, helped persuade you.
I'm a member of Chapter 649 in Claremont County. In fact, I'm their president this year. And they came to me, and a few of them came to me and said, we'd like to go back to Vietnam. How do we do it? And I said, well, I can help you with that. So I gave them, the group that I had gone with, Global Spectrum in Washington, D.C. They're a travel agent that specializes in that. And they said, well, we're kind of worried about going back. You know, would you mind going back with us?
Let Ken protect us. Yeah.
So, you're right. I said, I do need some more photographs because I really hadn't done much on the coastline of Vietnam when I went back the first time. And I needed some photographs to fill in some gaps. And I hadn't really started writing the book yet. I'm still toying with it, you know. So I went back that time. The second time with these guys. And it was very rewarding for me because I was extremely relaxed on that trip. I knew what to expect. And it was several years later, and the country had grown. The hotels were better. The transportation was better. And there was a lot of tourism there in the second trip in 05 from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it had become a tourist attraction, and now I understand that there are resorts all over the place. The Mekong River has turned into a huge resort with condominiums and who knows what. So
yes.
I don't have any desire to go back again, but three trips is enough, I think.
Well, a wonderful job, a beautiful book, Ken, and thank you for bringing a whole new perspective on Vietnam and the war there, Vietnam as the country, and also the effect of the war. The book is just perfect for that, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ken Williamson, his photographic memoir documenting his time as an Army photographer in Vietnam, is titled Saying Goodbye to Vietnam. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.